Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
Welcome to Financially Speaking with Lisa, your weekly radio show hosted by Lisa Waterman, CEO of Waterman Financial Services, LLC, a local advisory firm focused on helping friends achieve financial success with a personalized discussion and financial plan. Now, here's Lisa Waterman.
Hi, and welcome to Financially Speaking with Lisa. You're listening to Lisa Waterman, the CEO of Waterman Financial Services, LLC, and I'm your host of the program. Over the past couple months now, we've been talking about a lot of different things that impact your daily financial life, and that's the hope for the program. Financially speaking really means anything that you're having to do in your daily life that's requiring a financial decision. We haven't talked about budgeting and some of those things, which will be coming up in upcoming shows. But my job is to help you be more informed about how to come to those right decisions. In our show last week, we had Jeff Sanderson in the studio, and he is with Baden Gage & Schrader, CPA firm out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. And in fact, he joins us again today to continue our conversations about the sweeping changes made possible through the Tax Cuts and Job Act of 2017, enacted by President Trump in December of 2017. The fact is, as 2018 has laid forth, and we're very nearing the end, there's some things that are going to impact you as you go about filing your taxes in the early months of 2019. In 2019, when you file those taxes, you're really just settling up with the government. You're going to find out if you've been paying in too much or if you haven't quite paid in enough, but you'll settle up. You'll either get a refund or you'll be required to pay additional dollars in. Well, the whole thing is all the different activities you've been doing over the past 12 months of 2018 will have impact on that tax return. With Jeff being in the studio, I want to quickly get into a couple of the things that we didn't have time for in our last show to talk about that can still impact your personal financial situation. Some of you, and this would be any of you who have ever put dollars into a Roth IRA, Jeff's going to get into this in a second, but first of all, I need to tell you what the Roth IRA is. IRA is individual retirement account, and it fundamentally is a way for you to personally save for your own retirement. It just has one name on it, and if it's your Roth, it would have your name on it. But the fact is, you put money in there, and there is no tax benefit to you in today's tax situation. However, as the years unfold, the Roth IRA becomes more and more valuable as hopefully your investment returns will begin to become a larger portion of that balance. That being said, hi again, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning.
There is tax law changes affecting how Roths are handled in, quote, a recharacterization yes. of the Roth. So can you explain what that might mean to any of our listeners who are contemplating that?
Sure. The Roth recharacterization rules are basically applied to a situation when somebody has a traditional IRA. And as you mentioned, you know, the money went in there tax-free, but someday when they retire and they're going to pull that money out, that those withdrawals are going to be taxable.
Gotta be taxed, you bet.
And so some taxpayers are thinking, you know what? What if I had put that into a Roth IRA to begin with and I could be pulling that money out tax-free? Well, they can actually do that with a Roth conversion. They can take their traditional IRA monies mm-hmm. and convert it to Roth, but it gets taxed 100% as though, you know, they put it in their pocket, but instead it's in a Roth, and now it can grow tax-free until the time that they want to start making withdrawals. Under the old law, you could do that conversion to a Roth and change your mind, and that's where a recharacterization mm-hmm. comes in. So a lot of folks would do this conversion to a Roth, expect to pay the tax, and quite honestly, by the time they got to filing their tax return, they didn't like the result.
Yes.
Saying, you know what, I don't want to pay that tax. I've changed my mind. The government would actually let them undo it, the recharacterization. Well, and starting in 2018, you can no longer change your mind. You can't undo the Roth conversion. You're stuck paying the tax.
Mm-hmm. I've helped some clients with that, doing the Roth conversions. Luckily, I've not had anybody need to recharacterize, but pretty important to know that you better look carefully and be guided by your financial or your tax advisor about the benefit of a Roth conversion if it truly makes sense for you. Another thing that we didn't have a chance to talk about was estate tax law changes. Part of this, although most of it is more on the general activity of life, estate tax law changed also with this sweeping legislation back in December. Tell us about that. What happened there?
Sure. Under the old law, a taxpayer could exclude $5,500,000 roughly from estate tax. Or for a married couple, you know, you're approaching $11 million.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you did some planning around, you know, maximizing the use of those exclusions. But there's been kind of a game changer. The most recent tax law doubled those exclusions to $22 million, meaning if my estate or the net worth I die with is less than $22 million, estate taxes aren't going to come into play. And that's going to exclude, probably a large percentage of the population of having to deal with estate taxes. There's still other important reasons to do estate planning and have your wills up to date, but planning around actual estate taxes have kind of been minimized under the new law.
Yeah, and I always like to kind of talk through that because realize, folks, when you pass away, estate tax law may not affect you, but income tax probably will. If you have any dollars in IRAs, if you have any dollars in a 401k plan or profit sharing plan, because income taxes have never been paid on those dollars. So they will be paid when that money is removed by your family or your spouse. But the fact is that estate tax, most of us are not going to have to worry about it for the foreseeable future, given though too that, remember, this particular law does have a sunset provision, which means that beginning, I think, Jeff, you said in last week's show, 2022 to 2025, different components begin to sunset, which really means the Congress will have to act to either keep them in place or to replace them with something else, right? Okay. Well, super. Well, with that, we're going to need to take a break here in a few minutes. And when we come back, though, we're going to be talking about business tax, because significant changes in the business side of things. But if we could just do a quick summary, Jeff, and I'm going to hand this to you about talking, generally speaking, some of the things that anybody might need to do to review as the end of the year is coming up here on their own tax situation.
Yeah. Well, record keeping is always critical.
You bet.
You've got to basically keep score and keep track of where you're at. Maybe tentatively know where you're going to end up from a tax perspective. And once you tentatively know, then you can strategize, whether that means, hey, I need to make an additional charitable contribution this year.
So where do capital gains fall in all of this, Jeff?
Yeah, capital gain planning can be strategic also. Throughout the year, you may be generating gains that you may want to offset with some losses by triggering or harvesting losses before the end of the year. Or you may be invested in mutual funds where gains are being kicked off and you don't even know it.
Yep.
And that's where it's important to communicate with your investment advisor, figure out where you are from a capital gain standpoint so that you can get basically an offset of your gains against your losses before the end of the year.
Great. And we didn't really explain capital gains. The easiest way to say it, it's the difference between when you purchase something to when you sold it. Usually we're talking about investments there, which is a area near and dear to my heart. And Jeff and I strategize with clients on that topic all the time. You are listening to Financially Speaking with Lisa. This is Lisa Waterman, your host, along with Jeff Sanderson today with Baden Gage and Schrader. We are talking about the sweeping tax law changes that happened back in December 2017 and how they impact you. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to Financially Speaking with Lisa on Mobile Radio, your weekly radio show hosted by Lisa Waterman, CEO of Waterman Financial Services, LLC. This program is specifically designed to help you with your daily financial life. Lisa will be right back in a moment.
Are you looking for a financial advisor you can trust? Someone who has your best interests at heart? Lisa Waterman of Waterman Financial Services has the skills needed to help you. Visit them at watermanfinancial.com and find what true commitment looks like.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
This is Financially Speaking with Lisa, your weekly radio show hosted by Lisa Waterman, CEO of Waterman Financial Services, LLC. You can also listen to this program and previous episodes of Financially Speaking with Lisa on the podcast page at wowo.com. Now, let's get back to Lisa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financially Speaking with Lisa. This is Lisa Waterman. I'm your host of the program, and we broadcast every Saturday morning here on News Talk 1190 WoWo. Please plan on joining us 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings, Or you might want to just visit us at www.watermanfinancial.com. You can sign up for a newsletter there. You can see various topics of interest. You can also call my office, 260-436-6588. And we are available regularly to help clients. And that's really my overall goal, as I'm always trying to teach my clients about, you know, in today's show, we're talking about tax law, because tax law affects all of us. We may not want to talk about it, but the fact is it impacts us quite substantially. At Waterman Financial, in fact, I work with a lot of business owners, and the tax law change that we're talking about, Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, that's a mouthful and no acronym provided yet, has significant impact to business owners. And for those of you who were with us before the break, you know in the studio today with me is Jeff Sanderson with Baden Gage & Schrader, a local CPA firm that knows a lot about working with business owners and an awful lot about the tax code changes. So Jeff Sanderson is here, and I want to take our conversation into talking about the impact to business owners. And I'll leave that with you, because there's a lot here.
Sure. Probably the biggest result from the new tax act was a new exclusion of what is called qualified business income. And the definition of qualified business income is basically income generated by a flow-through entity, which would be a partnership or an S-corp, including LLCs that are taxed as flow-through entities.
And not C-corps.
Not C-corps.
Most of you out there probably are not C-corps. So this will apply to most of you, but double-check status there.
Yep. So again, specifically flow-through entities. And what the new law basically says, if it's qualified business income flowing through to you on your personal return, which that's how a flow-through entity is taxed, that the income flows through to its owners and taxed on their personal return, you can exclude 20% of that income from taxation. So simple example, if I've got an S corporation that made $100,000 and I'm the 100% owner of that corporation, I'm only going to be paying tax on $80,000.
Wow, that's pretty sweet.
It is. Unfortunately, it's not quite that simple.
Okay.
There's some other restrictions. First of all, using my example of my $20,000 exclusion, that $20,000 exclusion cannot exceed 50% of the wages my S-corp pays. So as long as I've got a payroll of $40,000, I'm going to be able to maximize that exclusion. There's another caveat in the law that if you are in a certain industry and you make too much money, you don't get this exclusion.
Those are service industries, right? And so kind of give a broad brush on that one.
Sure. They're labeled specified service industries. And unfortunately, both you and I get caught up
yes.
on this. It's doctors, lawyers, accountants, generally investment advisors, certain types of consulting income is deemed to be tainted income under the new tax law. And what the new law says, hey, basically, you can still qualify for the 20% exclusion if your income is under $415,000. And there's kind of a phase out range between $315,000 and $415,000. But again, if you fall into one of these service categories, you don't get this nice 20% exclusion.
Sure. And a lot of the things that people would use to try to get that amount under, you know, let's say you're at 415 and you're thinking, gosh, if I could just get that down, they can still make some retirement plan contributions, charitable contributions, some certain things like that to try and bring down that level.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. There's certainly going to be some strategy involved there in, you know, whether it would be trying to bunch income in one year versus another to at least 1 year qualify for the 20% exclusion and then not even be close to next year, if that
right,
makes sense.
Right. Well, and with that, too, I understand there's also been a lot of changes on the expense side of what is actually allowable to be a business expense. I know we changed a few of the things that we're doing in my practice because of that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. And some of those are favorable provisions and some not so favorable. The area that is really taxpayer favorable is the depreciation changes. Effectively, for at least a couple years until this starts to sunset, you can write off almost 100% of any equipment purchases, certain types of land improvements. It's basically a dollar-for-dollar deduction for certain capital expenditures that are made by the taxpayer. You know, we always kind of play around with the depreciation rules. Is this a 10-year life, 5-year life? Under the new rules, that they really doesn't matter anymore.
And again, to put that in simple terms, you earn $100,000, but you bought new computers and a new phone system that was $20,000. Now you're getting taxed on 80 because those are fully deductible in that year.
That's correct.
To get to your net income line.
Yep,
yeah,
that's correct.
Sorry, I think I cut you off. You were going to say something.
No, I was just going to kind of lead to maybe a less favorable situation. And it has to do with entertainment expenses. The new law basically precludes the deduction of entertainment expenses, where in the past they'd been 50% deductible. So generally, you know, your golf games, your trips to a ball game, a concert where you're entertaining, even though there's a business purpose and you're entertaining a client, those are no longer deductible. Now, you can still deduct 50% of the meals on those types of outings, but the, you know, whether it be the ticket price or the green fee, those are no longer deductible.
And that probably impacts business a lot, really, in the service industry, because we're so much relationship-based. So if you're in that industry, be careful. Jeff Sanderson of Baden Gage and Schrader here talking to us about the business changes associated with the Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017. It's interesting, whenever we're talking about all of this, a business owner doesn't really have to, quote, know all this, but it's rather by virtue of knowing what the topic is. So if you've been regularly entertaining people and thinking it's a legitimate expense, it is a legitimate expense. It's just no longer deductible on your tax return to get to that bottom line in which you're taxed, right?
Very
easiest
true.
Way to say it.
Yep.
But the thing is that, Jeff, you might talk a little bit about consulting with your tax advisor. With these changes, it's no longer just doing a tax return. You can be strategic about it, right?
Sure. And I think the real area of strategy or planning is this qualified business income deduction that I described. And I think the important thing to note is the strategy around this qualified business income exclusion is not, it's not one size fits all. Everybody's fact pattern is going to probably develop a different process or strategy to try to maximize that exclusion. That's where it makes it very important to talk with, whether it be your tax preparer, your tax consultant, your financial advisor like Lisa, to actually sit down and do the what ifs to try to maximize the deduction with all the different kind of circular types of equations that come into play in calculating that.
That's something that I always say is find somebody like Jeff. He has 60 plus people at the firm. I've got access to a lot of professionals. Please seek guidance. Again, Lisa Waterman here with Financially Speaking with Lisa. We'll do a short break and be right back.
You're listening to Financially Speaking with Lisa on Mobile Radio, your weekly radio show hosted by Lisa Waterman, CEO of Waterman Financial Services, LLC. This program is specifically designed to help you with your daily financial life. Lisa will be right back in a moment.
Thinking about a beautiful sunset and sailing into retirement? Don't wait too long. The best plan is started well before the sailboat is purchased. Let Lisa Waterman, CEO of Waterman Financial Services, help you. Call 260-436-6588 or watermanfinancial.com.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
This is Financially Speaking with Lisa, your weekly radio show hosted by Lisa Waterman, CEO of Waterman Financial Services, LLC. You can also listen to this program and previous episodes of Financially Speaking with Lisa on the podcast page at wowo.com. Now, let's get back to Lisa.
Well, good morning again. You are listening to Financially Speaking with Lisa. We have our show every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. right here on News Talk 1190 WoWo. In today's show, we've been talking about the tax law changes and how they have significantly impacted most of America. Now, many of us will be receiving a tax break as we find out when we file our taxes due by April 15th of 2019. But the Tax Cuts and Job Act of 2017 had sweeping changes on business. We closed the previous segment talking about that. But I know it can get kind of complicated, and one of the things that Jeff and I were just talking during the break is that find yourself a partner. You know, you don't have to know the tax law. You just need to know somebody who knows the tax law and let them help you be more strategic in the way you're operating your business or your individual life, because sometimes it's simply a slight difference that can have significant difference in a tax reporting situation. One of the things I'd like to do, and you've probably noticed it if you've been listening to our show, is actually starting to think about, well, how does it impact me personally? So I'm going to give a little question and answer back here with Jeff Sanderson of Baden, Gage & Schrader about my situation, except I'm going to be trying to make it a lot of situations of our listeners. So here's one. I got married this year. So how's the tax law going to affect me? Or maybe even say, I got divorced this year.
Okay. Marriage is generally a favorable result on your tax liability. The tax brackets kind of widen. You can get right to higher income levels and still stay at lower tax brackets. As we had discussed in an earlier show, the standard deduction will double for you as a married individual, that you automatically get to deduct $24,000 from your income as opposed to $12,000 as a single person.
And I just thought of this too. It doesn't make any difference how much I earn, right? I can deduct that. If I earn $25,000, I'm deducting $24,000. So that's something to remember as well.
Absolutely.
So overall, getting married is a beneficial thing usually under the tax code.
As a general rule, it is. Yes.
Yeah, great. Okay, well, here's another one. I'm age 59, and I'm looking at retirement here in a few years. How have these new tax laws affected me? What should I be worrying about?
I don't know that the new tax laws have affected that particular situation. Mm-hmm. I think it's just the general economics of retirement planning.
You know, you bet.
If I haven't been saving enough, can I do more now? As you know, there's these catch-up provisions out there for taxpayers over age 50.
I always say I love ketchup, not mustard. I'll take the ketchup.
So just knowing what those catch-ups are, how to use them to your advantage, and just maximizing the remaining years you have of employment to build your retirement accounts.
Yeah, because there's no day like today to be saving for your retirement, and it's really difficult to catch up. So even if I said in my example, age 59, if you're above 50 is usually when those catch-ups help you, and it just means you can put more away and save for your retirement, whether that's individual retirement accounts or employer-sponsored programs. Here's another one. And we kind of talked about this a little bit already in some of our other shows, but I'm a retiree. Let's say I'm about age 72, let's say. How does the tax law affect me now with, there's quite a few different pieces, but how does that affect me?
Yeah, well, I think there is a couple specific provisions that do affect people that are older than age 70 and a half. They're in that situation where they have to take a required minimum distribution out of their IRA account.
Yes.
It's taxed, and it increases their adjusted gross income, which could also increase this Medicare surcharge
that
could be tacked onto their Medicare premium. So the new law, and it's actually existing law that's kind of been more refined, there's a workaround for that. So this required minimum distribution that has to come out of your qualified retirement accounts, instead of taking that into income, you can transfer it directly to a charitable organization. So you don't have to pay tax on the, and let's just use a round number of $10,000.
Right.
The $10,000 is not taxable. Now, again, this does assume you're charitably inclined.
Yeah.
You don't need the $10,000, but it's a much better deal than taking the $10,000 and then writing a separate check to the charity, because that $10,000 would still be in your adjusted gross income, increase your Medicare surcharge, and a lot of people may not be itemizing with the new $24,000 standard deduction. So this, and I think it's called a QCD, a qualified charitable distribution, has become more important than ever for somebody in the 70 age bracket.
Yeah, and this is one of the key areas, I'd say, of the code in, as you said, refining that whole charitable contribution. So I'm going to summarize that quickly and say, if you are subject to required minimum distributions, which means you are over the age of 70 and a half, and my definition of required minimum distribution is, hey, Lisa, you can't keep not paying taxes on this. The government says you've been keeping it and not paying any taxes. We're going to require you to take out a minimum amount so that it's taxable. That's true, but there's this nice little qualified charitable donations segment that Jeff Sanderson was just talking about that will actually allow you to just take that RMD, but at the exact time of the RMD, it's getting paid to a charity. So if you have charitable inclination, this is not to tell you to donate to charity if you don't feel like it, but if you have charitable inclinations and you're over age 70 and a half and you have an IRA, those are all flashing red lights to say, hey, here's one of the best strategies you can utilize. So please take care of that. Another one, and this is quite relevant also. I'm a business owner. Let's say I have an LLC or I have a partnership. How have the tax laws affected me?
Well, it kind of goes back to that qualified business income exclusion that we talked about on this for business owners that own a pass-through entity. Under the right set of circumstances, you can now exclude 20% of that income from taxation. We also talked about some deductions you might be losing, like some entertainment deductions. But there's also kind of unlimited depreciation under the new law. So overall, it's very, very favorable. You just got to know your way around a little bit to navigate it.
Yeah. The tax law changes, again, that came into effect back in 2017, the Tax Cuts and Job Act of 2017, have made sweeping changes. And probably as we've gotten talking about this, a couple key areas, business, be talking with your tax advisor, make an appointment with your accountant before the end of the year. Don't think that all you got to do is have them file your taxes. You can be strategic together. And then if you're a retiree over age 70 and a half, I'd look closely at our charitable donations and using the RMD, required minimum distributions. Another one in summary, I think, is just looking about the way that once upon a time you had some assumptions about property tax deduction, investment expense deduction, state and local income taxes, all of that has changed. So a summary here is maybe call your tax advisor, make an appointment with them, and be informed. As Lisa Waterman always says, exercise your mind and exercise your body, because both of those are the gift you give yourself. Knowing some of this stuff about tax fits right into that category. A huge thanks to Jeff Sanderson of Bain, Gage & Schrader CPA firm in Fort Wayne, Indiana, today's guest. I am Lisa Waterman, your host of Financially Speaking with Lisa. Please join us every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. or visit us on our website.
Bain, Gage & Schrader is not affiliated with Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
This has been Financially Speaking with Lisa, hosted by Lisa Waterman of Waterman Financial Services, LLC, a local advisory firm focused on helping friends achieve financial success. Join Lisa next Saturday at 10 on Mobile Radio and listen to this program and previous episodes on the podcast page on mobile.com.
Podcasts by Federated Media.